Hello and welcome to Real Men Feel. I'm your host, Andy Grant. I'm an author, coach, and healer, and you can learn more about me at theandygrant.com. Real Men Feel exists to remind men that they are human beings, and they have the right to express and experience all of their emotions. We have conversations that most men are not having, but that all men can benefit from. Now, since men are human, they can make mistakes. One aspect of life where mistakes happen is in our relationships. And since so many studies show that the strongest prediction of happiness and longevity is the strength of our relationships, well, betraying a partner is a significant issue. Google tells me that nearly half of individuals in monogamous relationships admit to having an affair, and close to 25% of marriages stay together after an incident of cheating. My guest today, Vanessa Cardenas, is a trusted advisor for betrayal and transformation. Vanessa is a highly experienced C-suite executive, mentor, coach, and speaker with a degree in industrial psychology. She is also the founder and CEO of Understanding Ear LLC, where she empowers individuals and groups to heal from betrayal, amplify their authenticity, and find love and happiness on their terms. Welcome to Real Men Feel, Vanessa.
Oh, thank you so much, Andy. You do such good work. Oh, I love the premise of this, very much so, because men absolutely need to communicate, and especially after betrayal, very, very much so. So we've got a lot to talk about. Can't wait to jump in.
Yeah, so let's do that. In your work, what constitutes betrayal?
That's a very good question. And that leads us to a relationship. What exactly is a relationship? So for purposes of today, we're going to talk about men betraying their spouse. And when we're talking generalizations, I'm referring to the wife. I'm referring to a relationship that is a long duration of time, years, maybe even decades. So I want to make sure that that generalization is there and that the man has cheated. Now, there are three different kind of aspects of that. That can be physical. That's like penetration. That's exchanging bodily fluids, kissing, hugging, you know, sex, anal, blowjobs, anything, you name it. Anything physical, a physical other person other than your wife. Yeah, that's cheating. The second is emotional. And this is where there's a gray line that a lot of men have a trouble with, because they do have female friends. They have female coworkers. But if they're sharing details that they're not sharing with their wife, but they're sharing it with another female, and it's kind of sneakily being done, and it's texting at night, and it's kind of hiding the relationship with this other person from your wife, yeah, that's cheating too. And then there's cyber cheating. And that's a whole new one that has come into play in the last two decades, actually, with the, you know, with the internet. Absolutely. OnlyFans exploded during COVID lockdown. So did Pornhub. Now, you know, again, everybody is different. Everybody's relationship is different. So some relationships might benefit from that type of activity that spices things up, and they watch it together and they get ideas, everything else. That's absolutely fine. There is no judgment on that. But if one party's doing it and the other party doesn't know about it, yeah, that's cheating. So those are the definitions that I play under, that I treat under those three categories. Okay. So for today, I just want to make sure that we're focusing on the right type of group. Is it's men who have betrayed their spouses but want to stay together. That's the key. If you want to stay together, if you're looking to separate and the glue is really, really tight and your wife is hanging on for dear life, but you want out, that's a whole different conversation. Right. For today's purpose, we're going to talk about you betrayed, you did something, you want to stay together, and she knows about it.
So that's key. Things must be out in the open. For healing to happen, things have to be out in the open to begin with.
Correct. Absolutely.
Because I had not considered cyber cheating. I've done shows on porn addiction and such, but again, that never meant cheating in my mind. But I can see if there's the OnlyFans account that you spend all your time and all your money going to this one individual online. Oh yeah, I get, like, I can see that now.
It's very, very difficult. And it's challenging because, you know, when you get married, you know, if you got married 30 years ago, you didn't have this conversation about, hey, you know, if 30 years from now you have an OnlyFans account and you're, you know, communicating with a woman, yeah, I'm not going to like that. There's going to be a problem with that. So, you know, a husband's excuse of, well, you never said I couldn't. Well, wait a second. When we got married, that wasn't part of the vows because we didn't even know about that. So we're talking about communication.
Right. And we're focusing on men who cheat on their spouse. But anytime I talk about this, there's always some men out there that, but women do it too. So.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that in part two.
Yeah. Shy of part two, are men and women equally likely to cheat?
And there's some interesting statistics about that, very much so. I'm not going to quote them exactly, so I'm going to keep them in generalizations. When men cheat, okay, with another woman, okay, it's usually about 25% that other woman, both parties know, meaning that the husband cheats with another woman that the wife knows 25% of the time. Okay. Women, on the other hand, when they cheat, it's over 50% that they cheat with somebody that they both know, which means men, there are other men in your life that are looking at your wife. So do keep that in mind. Is it equal? It's getting there in terms of, you know, women cheating and men cheating. It used to be primarily men. But now women are starting to tick up as well. But for the sake of this conversation and your audience, we're just going to talk about the men who've cheated on their spouse knows about it, and they want to reconcile. They want to stay together. So those are the parameters and the guidelines.
When you initially began your work, you worked with women exclusively, right?
Yes. Yes. I worked with women exclusively because I'm a woman. I knew how it felt to be betrayed. And all of my studying went towards how to heal from a woman's perspective. But I started to find that a lot of the women that I was working with were suddenly asking me, hey, can you talk to my husband? Can you explain this to my husband? He's having a hard time understanding why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. Why can't I just let it go? Why can't I just, you know, just accept it and, you know, move past it and let's, you know, I told you, let's go, let's move on. You know, we don't have to talk about it anymore. And men want to get as far away from it as possible. Meanwhile, women are living in it. The pain, their body has become the coffin for all of this emotion that they're going through. In essence, the man has transferred the pain, the suffering, everything that he was feeling that led him, and we'll talk about that in a second, led him to the cheating. He's now unburdened. And he's like, oh, okay, now I've told my wife, you know, yes, she cried and this and that and blah, blah, but now we're over it. And we'll move past. So a lot of the women that I was dealing with were saying, hey, you know, could you talk to my husband? Could you talk to my boyfriend? Could you kind of explain this? And I realized that that was an entire different segment where I could help men understand what their wives were going through, what they were feeling, why they were feeling it, why they were so irrational about it, and give them a different perspective to look at. And it was very empowering in both instances, because a man was able to speak to a woman, me, intimate details, but his wife knew he was talking to me, mm-hmm. you know, situation. So it was very, very interesting, very much so.
Does it matter why a man cheats? Like, are there some circumstances that make rebuilding the trust easier than others?
The short answer of it is no. The long answer is that, you know, the woman wants to know why, you know, especially if they're blindsided. You know, we're going to take the case of me, for example, because I'm my best client. I know me inside and out. So I had been married for decades. I met my husband when I was 12. We dated, you know, when we were 14, 15, 16 years old. We fell madly, deeply in love. Very much so. Oh my goodness, the world revolved just around the two of us, and it was wonderful. And then he screwed up, And we broke up because we were immature and didn't know any better. And I had all these high expectations. And he was like, yeah, okay, I screwed up. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. You want so much and blah, 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 and this and that. And he pursued me for 8 years. Every single year on certain dates and Christmas and my birthday. And he would reach out and he pursued me very, very heavily. I was dating somebody for quite a long time at the time. And we started having rocky situation. And my, you know, my best friend, because he was my friend, swooped in and, you know, saved me. And 9 weeks later, we were married. And it was madly, deeply, fully, you know, and we jumped right in. Yeah, we had hardships. Every young couple has hardships, without a doubt, you know, but 8 years later, my son was born. 3 years after that, my daughter was born, and I had the happy life that I wanted. I grew up, you know, when I was 16, I was homeless. So I just had so many challenges throughout life. And now here I was married. I was in love. I had two children. I had the house. I had the car. I had the career. I was set. I was golden. He was golden, you know, and we just enjoyed each other's company and everything was perfect. And one day we're walking through Central Park and my husband says, hey, let's sit down for a second. And we sit down on a park bench like we had always done. And he, you know, I'm looking around, you know, I'm into my own little world. And he says, there's something I need to tell you. And I'm like, okay, you know, I turn and look at him and he goes, I've met someone. What? You know, like my whole world shattered in an instant. Time sped up and it slowed down to a crawl. And one of the things that I had done at that moment in time is I looked down at my feet. I don't know what it is about my feet and the ground. And I realized I was wearing a pair of Doc Marten boots. And I put my feet flat on the ground because they were in front of me. I put them flat on the ground so I could feel the earth because the whole world was shaking for me. And my world fell apart. It just did. And I was completely shattered. Completely shattered. I was completely blindsided. There were no, at that moment in time, there was no indications. There was no, you know, excessive arguing. There was no distance. There was nothing that I could see, but obviously there was something going on and I just didn't see it. I had my rose colored glasses on because I had my perfect life. Yeah. So from my perspective, I struggled with the biggest question of all, why? And that was the question that I immediately asked. And that was the hardest question for my husband to answer. And that's usually the hardest question for men to answer. And initially, you know, because the woman has reacted so strongly, what do men do? They turtle. They go inward. They see a side of their wife that they've never seen before. They see a rage like they've never experienced. The fact that her skin doesn't turn green and she rips out of her clothing is amazing because that's what she feels like. The rage just comes over. And the biggest question always is why? And men really struggle to explain why. And there are a variety of reasons. There's lots and lots and lots of reasons. I'm going to give you seven. The first is that the initial intoxication has faded. You remember that when you first met your wife, you saw her across the room or you saw her in band class, in my example, and you just, you connected, you imprinted, you just felt that electricity and you were like, oh my God, I cannot be away from this woman. And that just intoxication of love and just the whole rest of the planet disappeared. They didn't even exist. And suddenly over time that fades. And some men want to recapture that. They want to feel that all over again. Women do too. It's not exclusive. Then of course there's the ego and the insecurity. You know, as men get older, their bodies change. Their hairline changes. Things change about them. And again, society puts all of these variety of pressures on men. You know, you see the commercials and, you know, you want to grow your hair and you want to get muscles and you want to, you know, they beat down men just like they do women, but they beat down men. So the ego, you know, can I get a young woman? you know, is she into me? And then, of course, you have your single, you know, friends who are egging you on as well, you know, so it feeds into your ego. The other thing is unresolved past traumas. This especially happens right around fatherhood. There is something about having a pregnant wife and realizing you're going to have a child that suddenly sparks something, whether that's a childhood trauma of remembering a bully, sexual assault, sexual abuse, something going on in the background that suddenly you're like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to protect this thing from that which I have not resolved. I buried it. I buried it so deep, and now it's crawling its way up. So that comes into play. Then there's also the lack of male social circles where you come into play, Andy. It's that not feeling alone, you know, especially for a man who grew up with a single mother, with sisters, with aunts, you know, and didn't have that male figure around them, or the brother, the big brother, or the little brother to take care of, or the teacher that like molded them, or the mentor or something. And especially if it ties into that sexual component of a childhood abuse situation, then it compounds the issue. And then, of course, there's unrealistic expectations. And that's where OnlyFans and, you know, Pornhub come into play all over again. You know, if you ask teenagers, okay, and if you can get them to kind of open up to you and get permission from their parents and all that other kind of stuff, but if you can get teenagers to talk about sex, you'll find out some very interesting things. And some of the interesting things I'll share with you and your audience. But if you ask a young man who has watched pornography, he seems to think that choking out his girlfriend, she likes that. And girls, not immune to it either. If girls are watching porn and they see this, they think they're supposed to like getting choked out. I can tell you this, most women I've talked to don't like getting choked out. Now, again, what you do in your own bedroom between consenting adults is wonderful and great, and I encourage that. There's no judgment. But if you talk to our younger generation, our 16, 17-year-olds, where a young man who has not had sex before but has been watching porn thinks that a girl will like getting choked out, and the first sexual experience he has, he chokes out his girlfriend, yeah, there's going to be an issue. So there are these unrealistic expectations that come into play, especially if you've been watching a lot of porn and you think, ooh, my wife might like that. Ooh, my wife might like that. Got to kind of be really, really careful with that. The other thing is self-sabotage. You know, that comes into play, especially if you have a high pressure job or just a pressured job and you have a new boss who's, you know, half your age and you got all this stress and all this stuff going on. And then suddenly a woman is paying attention to you, whether that's the hairdresser who's cutting your hair and you suddenly feel those massaging fingers and she leans over you and, you know, you see her cleavage and this and that. And you wonder, hey, hi. How you doing, you know, type of thing. So that kind of comes into play as well. And then, of course, there's fear. There's fear of change. And then there's fear of no change. Oh my gosh, this is what my life is going to be like day in and day out. Yeah, that gets kind of scary. So that's the multitude of reasons why. What's hard for a woman is that a woman will immediately blame herself. She'll think that there's something wrong with her. I wasn't pretty enough. I wasn't sexy enough. I've gained weight. I've done this. I've done that. And some men will feed into that. Well, if you gave me more, I wouldn't have to look elsewhere. No, that doesn't fly. It just doesn't fly. If you want more, you have to communicate with your wife. You have to have a conversation. You have to sit her down and have a serious conversation. Most of my clients will agree that they'd rather have a conversation before betrayal than after betrayal. The conversation, and it's a difficult conversation. I'm not saying that it's easy. Of course it's not easy. If it was easy, we would be having them and you and I wouldn't be talking about betrayal. But we need to have that difficult conversation before and say, hey, listen, I'm feeling, we go back to men feel, I'm feeling X, Y, and Z. I need A, B, and C. What do you think?
So any man experienced these, any of these seven reasons, if he's brave enough and aware enough, he can feel it, share it, have a difficult conversation. Experiencing any of these doesn't mean you are destined for betrayal.
No, you're not destined for betrayal, but these are the common reasons why it happens. There are a lot more, but, you know, for the sake of this conversation, we'll keep it to those seven. Those are the seven most popular ones, but they're not exclusive. There are lots of reasons why betrayal happens.
You mentioned women commonly taking the blame or giving themselves blame. So does blame or responsibility, is it up to both parties, or does the man need to go, this was my fault? Like, where does that show up in terms of healing?
Yeah, in terms of healing, let's talk about repairing, okay? Because you need to repair it first before you can heal it. Kind of need to stitch it up, and then it starts to heal. So in terms of repairing, the first thing, the very first thing to do after you have come clean, okay, whether you've come clean on your own, which is a higher percentage that men come clean on their own, or they've been discovered. Okay. Coming clean on your own, you have legs to stand on because you can communicate with your wife. I told you, I came to you. I want to fix this. I can't fix it alone. I need you to help me fix this. So the very first thing is to apologize. And an apology does not have the word but in it. It's a full-fledged apology. I screwed up. I fucked up. I did something terrible. I've done something terrible to you. Okay. But it wasn't about you. That's the key. It's not about your wife. And she needs to hear that over and over and over again, like a broken record. Why? Because right after discovery of betrayal, she hears like the Peanuts adults, wah, 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 wah. That's all she hears. Why? Because the nasty chick is on her shoulder screaming at her. Yeah, see, you know, just nastiness going on. That's within her. She's got that. You, as the male, might be having shame. You might be having guilt. You know, there's a lot of emotions going on within you that you need to articulate. You need to get that out. For the woman, right at that moment, it's going to be really difficult because all she sees is red. All she sees is rage. And then she sees sadness. And they flip like that. They go one to the other, to the other, to the other. They swing around. She is on a never-ending roller coaster for quite a while. Because now that you've told her, she will replay your entire relationship. And if you have a long relationship, that's a really long movie because she's looking for signs. She's looking for touch points as to where she let you down. Don't allow her to do that. This is your responsibility. So that's point number two in terms of actions to take to repair. You have to take 100% accountability, 100%, not this 99%. Well, if you had done this, if you hadn't gained weight, if you had, you know, dressed this way, if you hadn't flirted with the waiter, whatever the circumstances in, you did this action. You did it. You take 100% of the responsibility of it. Then you're going to want to be accountable. You have to be accountable. You have to account for your actions, and you have to be completely transparent. She needs to feel safe. So if by her feeling safe, she wants trackers on your phone, put trackers on your phone. If you're not doing anything wrong now, you have nothing to hide. Give it all to her. No problem. You want to know where I am at every moment of the time? No problem. If that makes you feel safe, and we can repair this and we can heal from it and we can move on, no problem. But if you become tight-fisted with that phone, she's going to think you're up to something.
So in that, you meant no buts in the apology, and do whatever it takes to make the partner feel safe after the betrayal. Is there anything else that men really got to be aware of to not do? What are some common mistakes?
Common mistakes are they're impatient. Okay, I told you everything. All right, enough. Stop bringing it up. Stop rubbing my nose in it like I'm a dog. I get it. I fucked up. Enough already. No. It doesn't work that way. You're going to be in the doghouse for a while. Okay? You don't have to live there. But at the same token, she doesn't need her body to be the coffin for the pain that you have caused. You have caused her pain. When you betray her, you break her. You just break her into a million pieces. And it's not a situation where you can take a dustpan, sweep it all up, pour super glue on it, and boof, she's back to the way she was. Mm-mm, doesn't work that way. Chris Rock said it best. He's like, yeah, if you cheat on your wife, you do get a new woman, even if you stay with her. You know, it just is. You're going to get a new woman. She's never going to be the same because you broke her. Now, could she be better? Yes. There is beauty on the other side of betrayal. Now, while I don't advocate betrayal, I absolutely don't. Very much. I want to make sure that that is crystal clear, that I do not advocate betrayal. But I will tell you this, for myself personally and for so many of my clients, we are better for the experience. We are better for the experience. What broke off of us was the shell of all the expectations of everybody else. We were everything to everyone. Then it completely shattered. We completely shattered, but we shattered that shell and we stepped into our authentic self. Me, case in point with me personally, for me, my trauma response to the betrayal was my hair. I used to have hair down halfway down my back, salt and pepper, bangs, long, stringy, you know. It was my hairstyle. I had it for decades. Why? Because I was comfortable with it. My husband was comfortable with it. You know, it just was. My kids were comfortable with it. Yeah, it was just me. It identified me. Well, the first discovery, because there's always more than one, I chopped my hair off to my shoulders. Big, drastic change. I mean, my husband noticed it immediately. Then I shaved off one side. Then I shaved off the other side. Oh, you know, again, each discovery, something different with my hair. Then I dyed it the brown. And then the last thing was the pink. And why is the last thing the pink? Because the betrayal completely stopped. I had no more new discoveries. And this is years ago. And now this is me. And this is actually me. I love who I am. So I am better for the betrayal. And that's a hard concept. And I share that with my clients kind of right at the beginning. I'm like, you know, I used to say I'm grateful for the betrayal. And people were like, what do you mean you're grateful? And I'm like, maybe I need to rephrase that. I'm better because of the betrayal. I encourage that with my clients. So back to men and what they can do. So they have to be patient. They absolutely have to be patient. And they're going to get it. They just are. Take it. You know, just take it. Just realize she's suffering. And just hold her, you know. And when she comes at you, because she will come at you, I'm sorry. I know. I did this. I fucked up. You know, let me hold you. Let me hold you while you cry. It's okay. It wasn't about you. It wasn't about you. It was about me. And I fucked up. And just keep repeating it. You're going to be a broken record. Absolutely. But she needs to hear it over and over and over again until it sinks in. Because right now, again, her nasty chick voices are just beating her down. Every single person that has ever said anything mean to her is just in full force. They're just going after her. The other thing you need to do is respect her boundaries. She is going to lay down boundaries. And those are for her to feel safe. So if she tells you you need to sleep on the couch, you need to sleep on the couch. If she tells you you need to move out for a little bit, you're going to need to move out for a little bit, but you still need to be 100% transparent. If you want to repair the relationship, just because she told you to leave is not that you are on a break like Rachel and Ross. No, not at all. Got to do it. If you want to rebuild your relationship with the woman that you fell in love with and you just locked up, yes, you're going to need to do that. And then the last thing, the most important thing, I cannot stress this enough. This is by far the most important thing. So after apologizing and after taking responsibility and after being 100% transparent, you need to communicate. You need to use your words, because when you stop talking, she feels ghosted. She just does. Even if you're in her presence, your silence completely freaks her out. You need to talk. You need to continue to talk. Again, her nasty chick voices are talking and talking and talking and talking. You need to counterbalance that by communicating, by talking. So one of your guests had a great quote, and I would love to quote him, David Richman. He had said that people are so fearful of saying the wrong thing, why people are going through trauma. And the person going through the trauma is wondering why they're not talking to them. That's key. That's absolutely key in betrayal. Your wife needs to hear from you. She just does. You need to get all those feelings out. You need to communicate with her so that she knows what you're thinking, what's going on, because when you're silent, she's thinking for you. And what she's thinking is probably not what you're thinking. She's thinking about you with everybody else. You need to make her number one priority.
So I can see that this is how a relationship can actually be much better. And I'll say post-healing as opposed to post-betrayal, because probably some of the things that adding to a betrayal are a man not communicating, not feeling, not respecting boundaries, not being patient. Okay.
Exactly. Very well said. Very well said.
So communication is key between the partners.
Mm-hmm.
What is your advice when it comes to letting other people know that the betrayal has happened, that you're trying to work through it? Is that a bigger family known issue, a community issue, or is it completely private?
Really depends on your relationship. I'm going to put it this way. Once you let the toothpaste out of the tube, it's really hard to get it back because everybody's got judgment. And yes, right out of the gate, your wife is feeling like she needs to tell the whole world. Okay. I don't recommend that to my clients. All of my clients, I tell them to pause, to take a moment and pause. That is really, really critical, because once you start telling people, as I said, they have judgments and you'll feel those judgments if you're trying to heal. And there's nothing worse than going to a family event where everybody knows the man cheated on the woman. And it's like, whoa, hold on a second. That makes him uncomfortable, because this healing process is joint. It's the two of you. And in my particular case, for me, we didn't tell anybody. Our children found out, of course, because they lived with us. They heard everything that was going on. But that was it. Just the nucleus, the four of us, were the only ones that knew about it. Why? I didn't need the judgment of other people out of the gate. Now, of course, everybody knows because of what I do. But, you know, people come up to me. I had no idea. I had no idea. I'm so sorry you went through that. And I'm like, I'm good. I'm actually good. Our marriage is good. You know, he became a better man. And that's usually the result, especially if a man wants to stay in the relationship and fix it. Why? Because he becomes a better man. How does he become a better man? He learns to communicate. He learns to give and receive love in a way that he never got it before. And that is beautiful. Oh, it's better than that intoxicating feeling that we talked about initially when you first fall in love. That there's that historical love. There's that love that will just be with you, hopefully forever.
Yeah, I love that notion. And that, yeah, because that is the key. It's the relationship can't get better unless the human beings get better, grow, transform, become authentic, vulnerable, communicate, feel all of the things that make us human.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find to be some of our most powerful skill sets, but too many men have been told, no, that's not the case. That girl can feel, but you can't.
Oh, yeah. No, it's terrible. It's terrible what we do to men in society in general, you know, and that we pigeonhole them into having to be the providers. I'm so grateful that now there are so many men that are stay-at-home fathers. It's so noble. I love it because my husband 20 years ago was a stay-at-home dad, you know, and he was at the PTA meetings with all the women. And again, back then I had no worries, none at all. He was mine. He was my teddy bear. He was mine, you know, and we were happy and everything else and, you know, whatnot. Now, would I kind of be okay with that? It would tinge. And again, what I would do is I would wrinkle my toes in my Doc Martin boots, you know, and just ground myself and look at the situation for what it is. And I remind women to do that all the time, that they have to be present in their bodies because they will get pulled back into the past and be like, oh, what about this? And what about that? And they go down this dark spiral that is unnecessary because it's only this moment and moving forward. This moment, moving forward.
What do you tell a man who grew up in that traditional, really closed, narrow scope of masculinity and has been always taught, let it go, suck it up, and expects that from his wife? And, you know, why can't you just get over this? And they're dealing with that impatience. What can they do moment by moment to break through that and that resistance in themselves to open up?
I think it's about shifting perspective. And I kind of recommend this to a lot of men who become my clients. Shift your perspective. Put yourself in your wife's shoes and think about your behavior, what you have done, how you are feeling. I want you to feel what your wife feels. Feel it all the way down to your toes. You don't like how it feels, do you? You don't like being muzzled. You don't like that you have to just get over it. You want to be seen. You want to be heard. Let's go back to that moment in time in your childhood when you were stifled. What did you want to say? Let's hear it. Let's hear it now. You know what? I want that Tonka truck for Christmas. You know, say it. It's okay. You can say it. You know, and get it out. Allow for that to get out. So if they switch perspective, even just one degree, and realize that feeling that comes up for them is what's coming up for their wives, that can help with the healing.
Cool. This has been fascinating. I just want to let everyone know that you will be returning, Vanessa, and do the flip side about this and advice for people that have been betrayed.
Yes, yeah. Yes, because that's an entirely different ballgame. Yeah. It definitely is. And men feel it very differently than women do. So we're definitely going to have an interesting conversation about that. Again, from the experience that I have working with male clients as well as my husband, because again, we're far removed from the betrayal, but it's every single day. Every single day, he's accountable to me. He's accountable more so to himself. And that's the biggest difference. And that's the most important takeaway that I definitely want everyone to get moving forward. You know, you want to help her heal without a doubt, but you want to be a better man for her, but more importantly for yourself. And you can, and you will be stronger and you will be resistant. And that's the most important thing. And you will stand on your own two feet, whether your own two feet happen to be in a pair of Doc Martin boots, or whatever you're wearing, however you ground yourself, but you stand on your own two feet and you own what you did, and then you move past it. And again, what we do in life echoes in eternity, and he's washing it off because that is not true. It is not true. Betrayal is not a death sentence, and it is not a prison term for years and years and years. No, that's provided that you heal properly. If you just bury it, it's going to come back up. Yeah. It's going to come back up.
Right,
so let's process it correctly.
Surviving it is not healing it. Just getting, forcing yourself through and staying together and being miserable is not the point of working on this.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So cool. Vanessa, what's the best way for people to learn more about all the things that you're doing?
Ah, all the things that I'm doing. That's such a wonderful, wonderful segue. I love it. I want to close with a couple of things. There are a few books that I do suggest for men. Out of the Doghouse. Robert Weiss, a great book. This is a step-by-step instruction. Mine, of course, is dog-eared and highlighted because he is brilliant. We didn't really touch on fear, but fear is very, very prevalent. And again, this one is great. The Gift of Fear. This is wonderful for both you and your wife. Very, very important because she has a lot of fear. You know, she's fearing the breakdown of the relationship. Even if you say to her, I want to stay, she's still fearful. Again, that's part of the safety. Then, of course, my book, Dealing with the Devastation of Your Partner's Betrayal, What to Do When Your World Falls Apart. This is wonderful for your wife. It's a quick, easy read. It'll definitely help her. And then you talked about talking to people. How do we talk to other people? And this is really important, especially related to your children. If you have children, they're experiencing what you're going on, and they do not have the adult brain to process what is happening. So it's really important that you talk to your kids. Then once you talk to your children, depending on their ages, you know, then you have to talk to your parents and your in-laws because they have grandparents and they're going to talk about it. And then that bleeds into schools. You know, you are going to need to talk to your children's teachers. You're going to need to explain, we're having problems at home, and it depends on how you want to communicate that. But, you know, we're concerned that it'll bleed into school. We want to address that as well. And for a lot of women, especially if there's an affair partner, they want to talk to the other woman. So I have a wonderful book, Dealing with the Devastation of Your Partner's Betrayal, How to Talk to Your Kids, Your Parents, Your In-Laws, Your Friends, and Others. And these will give you conversation starters to kind of get you going. All of that is available on my website as well, all the resources, and that is understandingear.com. It comes from a Stephen King quote. Absolutely adore it. It is, the most important things are the hardest things to say, not for the want of a teller, but for the want of an understanding ear. So, yes. So I have one more thing, if I could be so bold. I am definitely curious as to what was most useful for your listeners. So I'm curious between part one and part two, what they have to say. So please do share that with me. So I'm excited about part two. And then lastly, if I have free consultations going on, but I'm all booked up until September, but exclusively for your listeners, I've opened up my schedule. So they can log on to understandingear.com. In the top left corner, it says Betrayed Men. If you click on that, you'll read a little bit of my history of working with betrayed men. Halfway down the page, there is a nice blue button because your color is blue. I love it. And it is for real men feel. And if you click on that button, you will get your exclusive. I have 6 weeks open for any of your listeners to come and get a 45-minute consultation with me completely free. So make sure you take advantage of that.
Awesome.
And the last thing I want to leave you with is, if you don't make time, if you don't make time for your relationship, you'll be forced to make time for your loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
Please remember that.
Yeah, that's potent. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time, all the resources. I'm sorry you have your expertise, but I'm glad you have your expertise, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yes. Cool. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And as I said, I'm grateful for it. It changed the trajectory of my life in such a profound way. And now I get to do what I absolutely love. I get to help spread love, to mend it, and to have it be so powerful. And it just, rather than the breakdown, the collectiveness, it's just, it's wonderful.
Well, thanks for everyone for tuning in today. Visit realmenfeel.org. There'll be a blog post for this episode. We'll have links to all the resources, all the books mentioned, all the ways to reach out to Vanessa. And whenever you're discovering Real Men Feel, please give a subscribe, like, follow, a comment, share with somebody that this would help improve their lives and help make them a better man. You can always reach out to me at realmenfeel@gmail.com. I'm always glad to hear from you. And until next time, be good to yourself.